Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Joining me on this late night, day one free agency reaction podcast is the slander duo, Assad and evidently Shelvin Mack, a.k.a. Sahal. What's going on, guys?
What's up, man? It was an eventful day in free agency. It was pretty good.
Was it? For us, was it?
Not for us. Yeah. But, yeah, there's some stuff going down as we speak, too. Dinwiddie. So.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, it was I didn't take too much from the day, but, you know. Yeah, free agency is always just a fun day to kind of, like, you know, get creative with things and, like, you get hyped over stuff. But a lot of times it's just, like, I'll be honest, I feel like everybody's so hungry for rumors all the time that it kind of spoils the actual event. It's like, yo, everybody wants the rumors beforehand. So it's like you don't actually get to like feel the actual excitement of free agency hits and you get all these like deals. Like a couple years ago, it didn't used to be such a big thing to have all these rumors out, right? Mm. So it'd be like, yo, midnight would hit and then you're just seeing the craziest deals like out of the blue. But now it's just like everything's basically already done beforehand and everybody's already basically reported it. So it's like, I don't know. I don't find it as exciting as I used to.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I mean, look, listen, as a Raptor fan, I feel like we should by this point know like what the deal is. Like, you know, like for me, for example, okay, so my birthday is December 23rd. And then, you know, my family did Christmas on the 25th as well. So like, you know, it was already disappointing on that front because they weren't going to buy me like two sets of gifts. Right. Mm-hmm. But then like, I was also like, you know, generally speaking, a very poor immigrant family. Mm-hmm. So they just weren't spending money, period. So like you would anticipate I would anticipate my birthday and I would anticipate Christmas because, you know, that was cool and people would talk about it and they'll be like, yo, I want to get this latest Pokemon game or whatever. And then like Christmas will come and then I'll get like socks and like, I don't know, man, like maybe a new like binder, like, you know, one of those fresh binders where you can like zip it up with the three rings inside. With little slots like that, that's basically Raptors free agency is like basically having immigrant families.
Yeah, you know, like no, you know what it was.
I appreciate what I get, but like I know it's not going to be a lot. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. So don't get your hopes up. You know, the reality of the world is what it is. You just got to fight and battle uphill a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of what was expected happened. Like Lonzo Ball has been rumored to go to Chicago for like the entire year. He signed to Chicago almost immediately. Kyle Lowry in Miami has been a rumor for goodness knows how long, right? And he goes to Miami, confirms it on his Instagram. Raptors Twitter's in shambles, including me. But yeah, a lot of stuff happened that we kind of expected. What were some other big deals? I said Dinwiddie was going to join the Wizards just now. That looks like it's going to happen. A lot of weird deals, like Kelly Olynyk went to the Pistons for 3 years, was like 36 or something, or 39, something around there.
Dwayne Casey's really giving Cade Cunningham the Team Canada supporting Cavs, man. This guy's giving him the same team that that Kevin Pangos got. Corey Joseph, they got Trey Lyles, Kelly Olynyk. Like
they have Trey Lyles?
Yeah, they signed Trey Lyles too.
What is Dwayne Casey?
Dwayne Casey is like, yo, Nick Nurse, if you're going to take my job, I'm going to take your job.
That guy's a true honorary Canadian. What is he doing over there?
This guy's banking on the ticket sales from Windsor, bro.
What the hell is he doing over there? No, but it was a good day. I mean, what's his name got paid? The well-known Raptor killer, Dougie McBuckets.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Wayne Ellington. No. Going to the Lakers.
Yeah.
He's another one.
McDermott went to the Spurs. I think it was like 3 years, 42 or something like that. 14 a year.
I got 432. But you got 342. That's crazy, too.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff that went down. Honestly, I was like kind of glued to Twitter the entire day, and I put Shams and Waj on notifications, like I'm sure the rest of Twitter did.
Yeah.
And I was checking it like every, I want to say like 10, 15 minutes. And yeah, some extensions happened too, just recently to Trae Young and
SGA. The rookie scale ones.
Yeah. So shout out to SGA, man, getting that money.
Money is crazy. Like, before we even get into the actual deals, like the amount of money that the players are getting nowadays, like I get why all these old dudes are so mad, yo. Like, I'd be pissed too, man. Like, if your entire career earnings is being made by like a rookie scale contract in 1 year, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking this up the other day because I was like, you know, thinking about like Kyle's salary. And so Kyle, after getting this 3 year, you know, $90 million deal, fully guaranteed, no options, his career earnings are going to be $275 in terms of millions. Jeez. And if you look at someone like Steve Nash, right? So Kyle had a weird career where he kind of like started slow, then got paid, you know, a relatively small amount. And then he started getting paid according to his money. Kind of just like Steve Nash. Steve Nash for his whole career made $147 million. So Kyle's already made like twice that amount. But the even wilder thing is Norm, after signing his 5-year, $90 million deal this today, Norm, by the end of his contract, will end up very close to having earned as much money as Steve Nash did it for his whole career. And Steve played a long time. Like, Steve played like 18 years. So
that's hilarious. Because Steve Nash's last deal was a 3-year, $30 million deal.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Now, Steve Nash was getting Doug McDermott money.
Yeah. But it's insane because, like, yo, you got Chris Paul getting $4,120, right? And, like, yeah, it's got partial guarantees or whatever on it, but, like, that's an absurd amount of money. And, like, you know, good for them, good for the players. Like, they're worth it. Like, they drive all the value, but it's just kind of wild seeing how big the numbers are and seeing how big the cap is getting for a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering is if the cap kind of stalls out for, like, the next couple of years, if, like, teams are going to start feeling the crunch. Because I think everybody kind of feels like they're competitive. But we're going to start reaching a point where teams are like, crap, we haven't actually been competitive for 2-3 years. Why are we paying these guys $30 million a year?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, 10 to $15 million is like the role player money now. That's like good role player money. 15 to 20 is like borderline starter money, right?
Yeah.
Gary Trent Jr. got 18 a year from the Raptors for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he might come off the bench. Albeit probably
no, he's not man. Coming off the bench.
I mean, it depends really what I really there's something telling me that the Raptors are working on something pretty big. I don't know why. I just feel like they're not gonna just tiptoe their way throughout free agency, even though they don't have to really do much. They could just get Ken Burch and kind of almost be done with it. And then just fill in the holes there. But I mean, if Gary starts, which, yeah, it probably looks that way right now. That doesn't kind of take away from the fact that there are some guys in the league making $15, $16 million a year and that are coming off the bench as six men. So the league's changed. Like, it's different. Like, six men used to be getting $7, $8 million a year, $9 million a year. And now superstars like Jimmy Butler. I think Jimmy got, like, 45. I think
the thing is, like, you're out. Well, like, the mid-level is, like, $9.5 million.
Yeah.
Right. The full mid level is $9.5 million. So, like, if the full mid level is going to go to a guy who's going to be either your fifth starter or your sixth man, right? Like, that's kind of where you have to kind of set yourself. It's like, okay, Gary Trent Jr. is worth two mid level players. And I could talk myself into that. Like, yeah, I can see Gary Trent Jr. being good enough to be equal to two mid level players. And what are mid level players? Like, I can't really remember who today's been signed on the full mid level, but like historically, Alex Caruso's on the full mid level.
Yeah.
Who else would be on the full mid level?
Like last year, like Serge, Montrez.
Yeah. Like these are the quality of players that you're getting for the full mid level who are either signing because they're ring chasing.
Yep.
And they're taking a pay cut to go there, or there's like they're just average players, right? So $18 million for Gary Trent isn't really outrageous. And it's like what the first, and it's like it's scaled, right? So it's $18 million each year. And you're like, well, he's 22 years old. He's not worth $18 million. Well, he's only getting 16.6 right now.
Mm.
So the deal's only 16.6. If you're saying, okay, in 2 years, if he doesn't grow into an $18 million player, like what, you overpaid by $4 million over the life of his contract, $5 million over the life of his contract?
Yeah.
Because it's a short deal, right? So you can, like, if he doesn't grow into that player, you can get off that deal pretty quickly.
Exactly.
But even then, like, again, Gary's what? A 39% 3-point shooter on very high volume, like ridiculously high volume.
It's like almost 8 threes a game, yeah.
Yeah, like that's how much those guys go for. Like you guys saw the rate, like guys like JJ Redick, who literally only provided shooting, were going for the last like 3 years, right? Like Tim Hardaway Jr., even before this current deal, he got $72 million over 4, which is the same $18 million rate. Like, I guess actually that was the rate for shooters this offseason. I think that was what everyone settled on, right?
Yeah.
Duncan got 18, Norm got 18, Tim Hardaway Jr. got 18, Gary got 18.
Fournier got
above.
Fournier got 20. 19.
Yeah, 19.
19 and a half.
Yeah. He got an extra million for beating Team USA.
Yeah.
His agent sent that clip in last second. Like,
yo, he torched them, though. Yeah.
And like those players are all like slightly different, right? You can talk about it. But like Gary's like the youngest of that group.
Yeah.
He's 22 years old. There is legitimate upside to him. And like, and we can get into the conversation, like say his fit with the Raptors, right? A lot of people are complaining because they're like, oh, he's one dimensional. Is he really a starter? Is he what? So I like looked into it and I'm like, okay, first of all, like let's bring some context into the games he played with us. Like he's a midseason, joins midseason. There's no training camp. There's no real practice time either because of COVID, right? So you're kind of just like hopping into a team and figuring it out on the fly, right?
Yeah.
So he looked bad on defense. Like, I'm not saying he looked great on defense, but also I don't think you can.
How bad, though? Like
how bad? Realistically, like, how bad? Exactly. Where I'm like, he got lost quite a bit, or, like, he overplayed stuff, but
It wasn't like we were getting torched, like, by the opposing shooting guard every game.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was DeMar, being targeted. For example. It was like the mistakes he would make would be like, oh, he didn't know his rotation there, or he just forgot about his man or whatever, which is, like, common mistakes that happen.
Yeah,
and like I'm sure like you put him through a training camp, he seems like the type of player that could at least fix up some of those small mistakes, right? Like where you fix up enough small mistakes where he can at least hold his man. And he's not I don't think he's going to be a negative defensive player, like even if he's not a positive, right? So we can forget about that side. But offensively, he played 11 games before he got hurt and he had a leg injury, and people are going to say, and there's the common refrain you hear is like, oh no, he didn't actually have a leg injury, the Raptors were just tanking, which is dumb as hell. Because the guy was going into free agency, his first free agency, literally no incentive for him not to play games.
Oh, yeah, he was shooting.
And if the Raptors are tanking, they played him in those tank games and said, yo, let them fucking fly. Like, just let the shots fly, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So he did not get sit. They did not sit him to lose games on purpose, okay? Because they could lose games perfectly fine with Gary Trent playing.
Yeah.
Like, they were benching enough dudes at that point. So he got hurt. So I don't really care for his numbers after he got hurt because, like, again, like, leg injuries to shooters, it'll throw off your rhythm, right? We see with Norm, every time he got injured, it would take him, like, ages to get back, back into rhythm, right?
Yeah.
So
that same shoulder. Yeah.
When he was in rhythm, he played 11 games. In those 11 games, I was looking up the stats. I forget the exact numbers, but it was, like, 18 points a game on 44, 37 and a half splits.
Yeah.
So 44 from the field, 37 and a half from three on, like, 7 threes a game. And it was, like, I think he was averaging, like, none of the other stats really matter because he was only doing like spot stuff. But his role on the starting lineup was as a play finisher, right? Where he's the third or fourth guy. The shots are basically being created to him. So it's either catch and shoots or he's attacking closeout. So he's already got an advantage. He wasn't doing advantage creation, which is going to be his role in the starting lineup, right? If you already have Fred, OG, and Pascal, you don't need Gary Trent to be doing your advantage creation because your advantage creation is going to come from, you know, Fred pick and roll, driving kick, or Pascal drawing the help defender, which I know we talk a lot of trash about Pascal on Twitter. A lot of people don't think he's a lead guy, But, and regardless of how you want to talk about his half-court offense, the one thing that we've known for Pascal for the last 2 years is he can draw a help defender. Like, he is very good at drawing a help defender. His issue is scoring 100%. On the help defender. But he's constantly drawing the help defender. Like, he's constantly drawing the double team, getting the help to shift over. So advantage creation in a half-court set, Pascal can do very easily and then start creating a rotation. So I think Gary Trent actually fits really well with that starting lineup and being that spot shooter. And I think he's going to be very successful the same way Norm was successful, because Norm, when you didn't have to create stuff, he was really freaking good because all he had to do was focus on shooting and attacking advantages. So I think Gary as a starter is actually a perfectly fine option.
Yeah. I think you convinced me, to be honest, because I was a lot of what I based on Gary Trent and Fred VanVleet's their combination was the fact that neither, in my opinion, were very, very good playmakers. And maybe that's just because I watched Kyle Lowry for so long and I was so used to Kyle just being one of the best floor generals in the league. But yeah, I like the blend on the team. I mean, the hypothetical lineup would be Fred, Gary Trent, OG, Pascal, and then whoever your center is, whether that be like Ken Burch as a free agent, Enes Kanter, whoever it is.
Oh my God, man. You don't have to do that, Fred.
You don't want to know Enes?
Enes isn't crossing the border, bro. He barely has a passport.
All right.
He's staying in the States. Like, we don't need to talk about Enes Kanter coming to Canada.
What?
Damn.
There's a Turkish population here.
Bro, he's in the States on political asylum. Like, we know this.
Like, he actually... Wait, he couldn't play a game in Toronto, no? Or was I... Could he play in Toronto?
Didn't he have an issue? And then he ended up coming, but, like, there was, like, a legitimate issue when he was trying to cross over. But, like, regardless, like, there's a reason why he's always cozied up to weird politicians, all right?
Yeah.
Well,
I wouldn't doubt it. He's staying stateside.
I'm going to no comment on this. I don't know enough about the political situation here.
And what was I saying, though? Yeah, the hypothetical lineup looks good. I mean, obviously, we all want Ken Burch back.
No, he's essential at this point, bro. If I'm Ken Burch's agent, I'm calling Masai. You know, I'm asking for, is 10 too much? 10's not too much.
Yeah, he has some pretty good leverage, man. He has some pretty damn good leverage.
I think, Kem can go for the full MLE. Like, he should at least
for it. Yeah.
Like, that's the number. But, like, yo, I think the Kem's issue might be that, like, there just isn't a market outside of Toronto for him, because I just don't think people rate him. But
that's fair. That's fair.
To Toronto, I think Kem had a really good season. So
he had a very good season.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you were, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people got mad. Not so much at Jared Allen re-signing in Cleveland for 5 years, $100 million. Like, that's a lot of money. I think it's fair, but I think it's a lot of money and whatever. He was restricted, so you weren't going to get him anyway, really. And then people really lost their minds when Rashawn Holmes re-signed, because people really wanted Rashawn Holmes. They just wanted a center who doesn't play a lot of defense but hit floaters. You know, that's the most important skill to have in a center is the floater. And yeah, I mean, if it's down between, like, you get Ken Burch for a short-term deal, and he can give you, honestly, if you look at what Ken did in the second half of the season,
give you like 70-80% of what?
Yeah, like 80%, right? Like,
Holmes is going to give you.
Yeah, maybe even a little bit better defensively. For less, for like 50% of the price, like, yeah, of course you would do that.
I get the anger. Like, I get the reason that they're upset is because it's an opportunity cost thing, right? Like, it's like you have this one time at cap space, so you're like, all right, if you dump Dragic, you have cap space and you can use it on Holmes, right? And you would have Holmes and Burch, right? Because you can get Burch with the MLE or whatever that you have available. So it's not as much like, oh, you're replacing Holmes with Burch. It's like you're just not getting Holmes. And the reporting that's come out on it is like, oh, the Raptors are in talks, but they didn't want to do a long-term deal, right? Which I can understand why they wouldn't want to do a long-term deal. I don't think the money on Holmes is that bad for them not to do a long-term deal, but I understand why people would be upset just given the totality of the transactions that occur. Like, if you're helping Miami do this sign and trade, what is your benefit from it other than just Oh my God, I'm going full Kendrick.
Oh damn, this guy's saying Moses Moody right
Precious,
now.
Precious Achiuwa.
Achiuwa, yeah.
Precious Achiuwa.
Oh my God, yeah, this guy's like saying his name like a, this guy's saying his name like a sneeze.
You know, I'd be looking like Kendrick Perkins nowadays. It's not
tough.
Great.
Yeah. No, you literally sent me a video of you bouncing a basketball in your basement and in your unfinished Milton basement, and it literally looked like Kendrick Perkins on the driveway. Like,
yo, you'd be
not that dissimilar.
Get back in shape, you know.
Oh my god.
You need
god.
Those seat extenders on the flight, you know, that's what it'd be.
Oh,
but yeah, no, like if Precious Achiuwa is the only thing you're getting out of this Kyle Lowry, for helping Kyle Lowry go to Miami, then I can understand why people would be upset. Cause like if the whole thing was like, all right, Kyle goes to Miami, you get Precious and you have cap space then that you can actually use on a player that you wouldn't be able to get otherwise, I get it. Not being able to get Holmes, I can understand why people are upset. All that being said, I'm not going to talk about how the front office did in this free agency per se, but I'm just going to look at what the team is going into next season, right?
Mm, yeah.
If your starting lineup is Fred, Gary Trent Jr., OG, Pascal, and Birch, that's a really freaking good starting lineup. Like, regardless, like, if you want to say, oh, they don't have the top-end talent, whatever, they have five, like, legitimately plus players on the court that fit. Like, each one of those guys fits a role.
Yeah.
That fits, right?
Yeah.
And that's a good defensive lineup. Like, we know that at least four of those guys are plus defenders. Yeah. And in OG and Fred's case, they're plus defenders, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even Gary, like, that's the thing with Gary's defense is, like, yes, he's probably he's not as good as OG or Pascal or Fred, but, like, I don't think the intensity of the defense drops just because he's on. Like, it's not like they have to constantly cover for this guy or he's going to get lost or they're going to attack him. Like, that doesn't happen. So, like, the overall level of the defense, I don't think is going to be weakened by that. And I think that's important too, because it's not like he's a negative defender.
Yeah. So that's your five man. Like, that's a very good five man in the thing, right? Like, people would be like, oh, well, it's not as good as the other teams in the East. And I'm like, all right, yeah, sure. Like, yeah, the Bucks have a better five man. The Nets have a better five man because their three man is so good, right? Mm-hmm. The Heat right now have a better five man. Atlanta, do they have a better five man? I don't think so. I think it's pretty even. Like they have the better player in Trae Young, sure, but I think their five man roster has a lot of weak spots.
Overall, it's pretty even. Yeah,
like overall is weaker. So I would say it's even. Indiana's weaker.
For sure.
The Celtics, they have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and what else?
And a wasteland.
Apparently, yeah. Marcus Smart and Brad Stevens don't see eye to eye.
Yeah, Marcus Smart's on the team, but like now they don't have Evan Fournier. Actually, did they replace Evan Fournier with anything? Like, what did they get in total in the free agency? I'm totally blanking.
I know
they had that Tristan Thompson sign and trade. Like, they got Moses Brown, and then they traded Moses Brown.
They got Josh Richardson.
They got Josh Richardson. So they replaced
Avery Bradley in the sense that if you have to rely on him, then you're probably not serious.
Like, Josh Richardson getting passed around all these, like, fake Eastern Conference attenders. Whatever everywhere. Eastern Conference team he's on is not doing well in the playoffs. They're a first-round exit. He was on Miami, first-round exit. He was on the Sixers, first-round exit. Now he's on Boston. They're going to be a first-round exit.
He's the anti-Danny Green.
He's that 33-34% shooter who's always on the wrong side of 33 and 34% when you need it, right?
Yeah. So he's at the Mark Carroll 33,
So the Celtics five man lineup, like they have great top end talent, but they just don't have a five man lineup. They don't have a point guard. Their point guards are what, Peyton Pritchard?
Yeah, well they dumped Kemba too, right? So they got Al Horford back, which does help for them.
Bro, Horford's washed. Like if Horford has a good season, good for him, but that dude is washed. Like he was done in Philly.
Yeah, no, he was done playing power forward and backup center.
Nah,
and
Will, like don't do that. Horford's
buddy,
done,
even when he was playing at the five, he was bad in Philly.
They were playing Tristan Thompson.
That's true.
That's an upgrade. That's an upgrade. I mean,
I don't know if that's an upgrade, man. Horford's flat footed and is just. I think Horford's done. I think that's. I'll be iffy on that. But anyways, so I would say the Celtics five man, like just because of their top end talent, they would kind of be maybe even with us. I think they have a lot more holes that are attackable on their five man, and they don't have depth. Right? And then what other teams are there in the East? I'm not going to talk about the Knicks as a serious team. Like, we're not going to pretend that that's a serious team.
But they got Evan Fournier.
We're not going to pretend that's a serious team.
All right,
they're fine. But, like, I think the Raptors, like, with their five-man lineup, are sitting probably, like, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth in the East. Mm-hmm. But the Raptors' depth is actually really good.
I think in terms of team construction, forget the free agency.
Yeah.
In terms of team construction, they've basically made a roster that resembles what their 2017, 2018 rosters were, timeline-wise, right? Where you have Fred Pascal OG as your Kyle DeMar Jonas, like talent-wise, age-wise, right?
Mm.
And contract-wise, so that's your core. Gary Trent Jr. might be your DeMar Carroll, whatever you want to say about it, right?
Come on.
But then basically the Raptors have created
this. What the hell?
Okay. Like, that's just because people be talking shit about DeMar Carroll, right? Like, and they talk shit about Gary Trent. But I think Gary Trent's better. I honestly agree Gary Trent's better than
DeMar. He's much better than DeMar. I don't know what people are talking about. People turn on Gary.
But I think the league, but I also think the league in general is more talented than at that time. Okay. But going back, and then what the Raptors have done is they've created a shadow lineup. Like, they have actually built up their assets. Last season, we went into the season last year with six players that could actually play on the team.
Yeah.
We started the season with Kyle, Fred, OG, Pascal, Norm, and Boucher.
Yeah, we were
and
lucky.
Nobody else on our roster could play a minute without dying.
Yeah.
Because it was like Terrence Davis was our seventh man. Yeah. Sorry, I said his name. My apologies.
Yeah.
But he was our seventh man, and like that was horrible. And now, through the season, we develop Malachi. You get Kem Birch on the roster. You develop Utah into a player that, like, Utah was a plus player this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we're not going to pretend that he wasn't. So now the Raptors have basically are going into the season with a shadow lineup on their bench again, similar to what the bench mob was in 2017, 2018. You got Malachi. You got Malachi. You got Utah. You got Paul Watson, if you want to call him. But I'm going to take Paul Watson out. Let's say Scotty Barnes.
Yep.
And then you got Boucher. And then you've got, Gillespie, Paul Watson, whatever that fifth man might be, right?
Yeah.
There is a backup shooting guard need, obviously, that they should probably fill in free agency, whether that's Malik Monk.
You basically just need a 3-point chucker in that situation. Yeah. Like, you need a CJ Miles, like a guy who in a half court setting, he's going to move around, guys going to have to follow him just to move the defense a little bit. He doesn't even have to be that good. But
so you're saying bring Tony Snell in? That's what you're saying?
No, Tony Snell doesn't. Tony Snell shoots like 1-3 a game.
He is 1-3 a season. It's against the Raptors.
Not against the, I was about to say, not against the Raptors.
Oh, man.
Raptors, he tears
how many
us
Raptor
apart.
Killers are out there? Like, yo, enough. Leave us alone. Like,
like, this is a solid, there's a very solid team here. Like, that bench, and man, like, I think people haven't totally understood what that bench is going to look like. Because, like, if you remember, the key to the bench mob was, like, they would play defense, so they wouldn't lose you points on defense, and then they would just crank the pace in transition, and they just had a bunch of dudes who could score in transition. Look at who our bench is right now. You got Malachi, plus defender, and loves to push the pace.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Utah Watanabe, plus defender, loves to push the pace.
Yeah.
You've got Scotty Barnes.
You got like a little weird, like,
you got Scotty,
who's literally, he's literally the epitome of play defense and push the pace.
Yeah. And then you got Scotty, who's literally defense and push the pace, right? Yeah. Like, he's going to be your transition playmaker. And we don't know what he's going to be, but I think he's going to be fun regardless. And then you've got Boucher, who, like, I don't think he plays defense per se, but I think he can be passable at the four man. Man, like at the five, he was really rough, but if he's the four man on that bench lineup, I think he'll be fine.
He'll be fine at the four.
He's a legitimate gunner. He's your scorer, right? He's your 3-point chucker on that lineup where he can like light it up. And we've seen him light it up multiple times this season. Like the guy can put up 30.
Yeah. You're right. You know, he is the CJ Miles of that situation. Yeah.
He's the CJ of that rock. Like he's the CJ of that team like if the play breaks down, they're going to run a little pick and pop for Chris Boucher and he's going to trebuchet that ball into the net, right? Like that's just his role.
Yeah.
And then who's the fifth man on that? It's like whatever, Paul Watson, whoever they pick up, right?
Yeah.
So there's legitimate like juice on that bench lineup to actually just be like this running gun defensive lineup that can like play even or outplay other teams' benches. So I think the regular season is actually going to be pretty nice to the Raptors where their starters might play even or slight plus for most of the games, and then their bench blows out teams again. And I think that's kind of what the build is. And I know I've been talking a lot, but like this is kind of what I've just been putting together over the last couple of days. I keep tweeting out like potential lineups, right?
Yeah.
And I just realized I'm like, okay, this is how the guys are going to mix. Like it's actually not a bad mix in terms of what they built. And that's before we get into whether or not they actually did much in free agency, which is what it is. Also, just wanted to say real quickly, Mr. La La Land, Daryl Morey, the GOAT. Oh. The Sixers just waived George Hill, who was their Kyle Lowry replacement.
I thought he was a significant upgrade.
That's significant upgrade to their team, right?
Wow.
This guy says significant.
Things are coming full circle.
No, what's going on? Well, where's Ben Simmons at? Did he get in contact with Ben yet?
Goodness, that's crazy.
I wonder where George Hill goes. Do you think he goes to Brooklyn, LA, or Miami? Or
Shanghai?
Maybe?
Yeah.
Yo, come on, man.
Nah, man.
Like, Shanghai signing.
He's gonna get a ring chaser deal.
Redacted. Are
you kidding me?
With who? It feels like he's done that with the last. It feels like he's been on every contender. He's been on the Bucks.
George Hill, bro. Someone's gonna talk themselves into it.
Oh, he's going to the Nets. He's gonna go to the Nets on a minimum. Yeah.
You know, he would do fine on the Nets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of like him on the Nets.
He's going to go to the Nets. That's my prediction.
Jeez. Or the Lakers. Have the Lakers ever had George Hill?
They have. Actually, no, that was Ramon
Sessions. Lakers haven't had George Hill.
That was Ramon Sessions. Sorry.
Yeah, they had Sessions. Oh, yo, relax, guys. That's two different. That's totally different. That's American.
LeBron's had George Hill, though, before.
LeBron has. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He's not getting them back. Low key, I feel bad for J.R. Smith because that wasn't his fault, man. That was
straight up George
Hill should have just made the free throw. That would have put them ahead.
Nah, people loved scapegoating J.R. Smith all year, though. If you even remember, like, before the playoffs even began, like, J.R. Smith was on my Instagram feed, like, every other week.
Yeah.
Of, like, just doing crazy dumb shit. And, like, honestly, the Cavs knew, like, they didn't even have to win regular season games. Like, they knew where they were going at the end of the year. But, like, somehow J.R. Smith was still in the headlines for just, like, some dumb shit.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Yo, you know what I just realized? The guy that we're forgetting on that bench mob is
Precious.
It's Precious. Yeah.
It's Precious as well.
Yo, okay. Okay. I'm gonna talk to Sahal. Have you seen the tape on Precious?
I have. I've seen a bit. Yeah.
Yo, you hype him up first. You hype him up first because I'm kind of sold on the boy.
Precious. So this is the thing with me. So when I watch him, if you're a Raptors fan, you 100% like. I feel like Raptors fans just gravitate towards energy players. Like if you looked at most bench players over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, Raptors fans just love guys that just go all out, that crash. Like we fell in love with Kyle Lowry. For a reason initially. It wasn't because he was some otherworldly talent. It was because he was doing the little things that people just fell in love with. Obviously, like his personality and stuff, like rub people the right way as well. But Precious is like, man, oh man. I was watching the Nigeria USA game, and this guy, like, he's tossing elbows into guys, and he's almost like a combo forward. He has really good athletic ability, he's super strong. He's a leaper. Like, he can jump. Like, this guy against Team USA, he's jumping over guys. Jumping over Jason Tatum. Jumping over all these guys. In terms of his wingspan, he has pretty good length.
He has, like, very similar measurements to Scotty, actually.
Yeah, like...
I think
he's like 6'8", one of the
Twitter accounts...
7'3", wingspan, yeah.
There's the Pascal Propaganda Twitter account. That guy, he was on the Spaces talking about him. And he said he's, like, Precious's, like, measurements are, like, basically Bam, like him and Bam have basically like the same measurements. He has like a 7-something wingspan. So he's got a really plus wingspan, right?
Yeah.
And so like I was watching a lot of tape on Precious today too, just to try to get a grasp of him.
Yeah.
And he's so mobile. Like I don't know what type of player he'll turn into. He's clearly a bench big at this point. He's 21 years old. He's had whatever opportunities, but he's had some really good games in Miami when he's had the chance to actually play minutes. And like he's a good finisher at the rim. He has a lot of mobility. Like, he's got a lot. Like, his second jump is quick. Mm-hmm. And he's a fast mover. Like, he runs. Like, he's legitimately, like he reminds me. The player that he reminded me of, and it's not going to be, like, an amazing player comp, but I'm, like, comparing what he is right now to the player I'm thinking of. Like, right now, as a 21-year-old, he reminds me of what, like, if you guys remember Jordan Hill.
Yeah, Jordan Hill.
Jordan Hill was this energy power forward center who could, you know, he jumped in, he'd get rebounds. His biggest issue was like motor. Like his motor would kind of wane.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what Precious Achiuwa reminds me of right now. Like he'll set a hard screen, he'll dive fast, and he will roll hard. And he is a lob threat. The guy catches so many lobs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Raptors have a lob thrower, but I think Precious Achiuwa.
Scotty Barnes, baby.
You know what? If Precious Achiuwa is the bench big with Malachi Flynn. That's an incredible pick and roll combo. Like, Malachi loves playing pick and roll. I want to see him like actually have a big who can set a screen and roll hard, and that would be an incredible combination. I'm actually very high on Precious.
Yeah,
I don't think he's the type of like star return that you were hoping for Kyle Lowry, but as a player by himself, I think he's a good young player. Like, I would like him on the team.
That's the thing. The sign and trade is like you're never going to get that much on a sign and trade. Like you just have to be realistic about that. Like I think that, you know, most sign and trades are like you get like a trade exception back that you don't end up using like 80% of the time. And even if you do use it, it's on some garbage contract. So I think honestly, Precious is fine as a piece to get back. I think obviously if they'll try to reroute Dragic, which you know, there's probably some teams that are interested. Do you think, by the way, so there's a holdup right now that
Before we move on from Precious, can I just say one more thing?
Yeah, what's up?
So when I was watching some tape, because I like to watch his tape at Memphis as well before he even came to the NBA.
Wow, okay.
And his, like, the thing that jumped out to me the most was what Usa just mentioned, which was his mobility. Like, this guy in Memphis, they used to switch a lot. And this guy was getting switched onto, like, 6'4 guards, 6'5 guards.
Mm.
And he was staying with them. Like, the guy can move really well. Like, horizontally, incredible. Like, and remember, this is not, you know, a small guy. Like, this guy's 6'9", probably 230, right? So, yeah. With Nick Nurse, that switching system that he loves running.
Yeah.
Precious is going to look damn good, man.
And he has a bit of a grab and go game too, which is really like impressive. Like Nigeria was like would legitimately have him like bringing up the ball quite a few possessions in this Olympic run, and he looked comfortable kind of doing it, comfort attacking off the grab. Just like, so I'm actually like, if he was like a bench Pascal or like a bench Pirtle,
yeah,
from the 2017-2018 year, I can totally see him filling that type of role. Mm-hmm. And being that type of player. So I understand the appeal of getting a Precious Achiuwa. I like him a lot as a player. Mm. And then I actually don't mind his general jump shot mechanic. Again, I've only seen highlights where he's making shots, but like it doesn't look horrible. So I could see him potentially, you know, having some sort of a serviceable jumper.
Yeah,
in the league too, right? Like he was hitting some above the break threes where he was very comfortable taking the shot. And I was like, oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah.
For a 21-year-old, very interesting.
And they're definitely going to try that stuff with him because...
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Bro, they were making Ken Burch take like 8 threes at the end of the season.
That's what I was going to say. We're all lying to you if we thought that when Ken Burch was going to sign with the Raptors that he was going to start shooting threes and this guy was hitting like corner threes and we were all like, what the hell's going on?
I would much rather see Ken Burch, Precious Achiuwa, and like Scottie Barnes take threes than seeing Aaron Baines and Alex Len take threes. That's my personal
opinion. Precious just loves contact. Like he's like Montrezl Harrell, like a way more mobile Montrezl Harrell. Like he just loves contact.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to see him, man, in a pick and roll with Kyle Lowry in that bench lineup, but I'm done reminiscing, man. I already
Enough,
man. Enough.
Yeah.
And I guess one final point, well, before we move on, and this is kind of just because you brought up Kyle. Not getting Holmes, I get why people wanted Holmes, but Holmes probably would have been the most effective if he was playing beside Kyle Lowry. Like Kyle Lowry plus Holmes or Kyle Lowry plus Allen would be very intriguing to me. Without Kyle Lowry, I don't think the Raptors have the same type of point guards to really make use of them at the same level, like to make them more than what their value is. They would just be equal to the value of the contract or maybe a little less than the contract value. So I don't mind it either way, but yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's I'm very curious to see like what the rest of this sign and trade looks like, because I think it's pretty clear that Dragic is going to come back as the other piece. And apparently there's a second round pick. Okay. And you know, you're probably going to look to flip Dragic. I think you could get something okay for Dragic. Like if you got Dwight Powell and I don't know, maybe Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson is pretty good, but like
I don't know if Dallas gives up that much though. Cause I really think they really like Jalen there.
I also just don't. Well, the thing is, Brunson was a Carlisle guy, right? So it's like,
but he didn't even play that much in the playoffs, though. Yeah. That's the thing. Like he surprisingly didn't play
Brunson
that much.
Brunson makes $1.8 million.
Yeah,
I think he has 1 year left on his deal, right? $1.8 million.
Yeah,
he's gonna have a cheap hold next year. You can kind of decide.
I like
I like Jalen Brunson too. So I don't think I don't understand from Dallas's perspective why they would give him up. But Dallas is a weird franchise.
Well, that's the thing, though. Here's wanting
Goran Dragic is weird to me, but
well, listen, once you have a generational star like Luka, you're gonna have to do whatever you can to like please this man every single year. So if he says he wants, you know, Goran Dragic, like, you know, Slovenian legend, then he's gonna get Goran Dragic, period. Plus it's Mark Cuban. He wouldn't even need to be told that. He's probably already targeting him.
I personally like if Dwight Powell is the guy coming back in that, like
yeah.
I don't mind Dwight Powell. I think he's like a fine bench bigger or whatever. But
he's undersized.
He looked damn good for Canada. I'll give him that. Like Nick Nurse was using him
Yeah, mean, Canada also again, just didn't get out of a tournament. And they were playing against a bunch of tiny little teams.
But
they
to be fair, Dwight was playing well though.
Come on, don't take that.
Dwight did play well. He's on Trey Lyles.
Slovenia was in their bracket. No, they didn't lose to Slovenia.
No, Slovenia was in a different tournament.
I know they lost to Czech Republic, but Slovenia is in the semifinals now. So shout out to Luka.
Yo, they're 17-0 when Luka plays. That's actually unbelievable. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know how hard Luka, international basketball is, man. Yo, they're going to shut the borders down when Luka beats Team USA.
Jeez.
Damn. To be fair, I think I'm ready to say Luka's a top five player in the world, man. Like, I feel like he was just hovering around that area.
I think he's there. But he's there. I do think it's I think it's a little, like, ridiculous to say Luka's a top five player if you're not also willing to say James Harden's a top five player. Because I think they're equal. I think they're literally equal players. I think Harden has a better, more record, historical record of actually being successful than Luka does.
Yeah.
I don't think Luka does anything better than James Harden, per se.
But you know what it is, though? I think James does have that, like, one or two games where he just kind of melts down.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that as much from Luka just yet.
Like, Luka hasn't played enough games that, like, where he isn't the underdog,
right?
To matter, right? Like, James Harden's played games where he's the top seed.
That's true.
And he's playing against a team below him, right? Luka's always playing against the Clippers, so even if he has a bad game, it's like, oh, he's just tired because he has to carry his team. Mm-hmm.
Like, James Harden is tired.
James Harden's not going to get that same credit, right? Even though James Harden's probably tired too.
That's fair.
There's a lot of external stuff there. I just think that if you're going to talk about Luka Doncic being as great as he is, you should also be a person that holds James Harden in really high regard.
That's fair. That's fair. So, I mean, look, listen, we'll do more episodes once we know what the specific return is. So for now, I mean, that's what we know, that Gary Trent Jr. has re-signed. Kyle is going to the Heat. How good do you think the Heat are? So the Heat got PJ Tucker in addition to Kyle Lowry. They got, Dwayne Dedmon back.
Yeah, so their starting lineup is Kyle, Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and then it's PJ Tucker, most likely. Like, mm-hmm. I'm assuming they're going to run a small ball lineup with Bam at center.
Yeah, they should.
Because they really don't have any big man depth other than Dwayne Dedmon. I wonder who they pick up.
They'll get somebody. Like, this is Miami. Like, a buyout guy is going to come to them.
Yeah, but I wonder who the buyout guy is, right? Like, they only have minimums left. So, because their bench is Tyler Hero, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus,
who they just re-signed, yeah.
And I can't think of anybody else.
I guess Kazi Okpala, if he's not included in the...
Kazi Okpala, right?
Is Kendrick Nunn a free agent?
He's restricted. He's not.
Kendrick Nunn's a free agent, but they're not going to get him back because they can only offer the minimum. They can't get him now because they'll be hard-capped, I think, otherwise. They're out of money. That's the problem. They've run out of money after the deals that they just signed. I think that's what I understood. Because they hit like $136 million. So what the Heat guys are saying was they only have seven spots left for minimums, and one of them is going to be Udonis Haslem.
Yeah, you just have to.
And I think they used two of them on Gabe Vincent. They used two on Gabe Vincent and Max Strus. So their depth is going to be probably an issue. I wonder if they can kind of maybe swing a deal midseason. Like, maybe they move Tyler Hero for like a big, right? Like a backup big or something. Because if Dwayne Dedmon's their only backup big, bro, like, what is that team? Like, that's a little rough. I don't know how they get past Embiid or Giannis with that, but they do have an interesting front court.
Do they have enough shooting?
I don't know. I don't know if they have enough shooting.
Do they have enough scoring, to be honest?
I mean, do they have enough defense? I mean, look,
I think they have the defense.
Yeah.
Kyle, Bam, and Jimmy is enough defense at pivot points to make it work. Right, and if PJ Tucker is still like able to defend at 37 years old, then I think their starting lineup has enough defense, and they're going to run a shit ton of zone anyways, right? So they'll be able to hide defenders. They'll zone a lot.
But are they going to beat Brooklyn though? Like, that's I'm thinking. Like, if who's guarding Kyrie? Because Kyle can guard Kyrie in 2016.
Yeah. Also, like, sneaky. Here's the thing. Now that Kyle's not a Raptor, we can kind of talk about it. Kyle's defense really fell off last year.
I thought he didn't care. He was saving his.
I thought maybe he didn't care, but the first half of the season, he definitely cared, and he was getting blown by consistently.
But that happens with Kyle. That's the thing. Kyle's a better team defender than he is on ball.
Blown by a lot more though than I think I'd ever seen. Where I'm like, oh, he's not even making the rotation in time. Where I'm like, okay, he's still getting the steals. Like,
zoning up the weak side or whatever, and then, like, you know, charges, getting, like, the charges and stuff, which is still good. Kyle's still good, but he did, like, there was a noticeable step that he lacked last year, which I that did worry me a little bit. I was like, man, if we give him a deal, I personally did want him back, but yeah, that was the worry.
That was a concern.
But they're talking about Kyle Lowry like he's like Drew Holiday or some shit.
Yeah, well,
a point of attack defender. I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
Like, I know Kyle's also, short, but he's
we
not.
We also got to be fair. Yeah, we got to be fair. Kyle's 35, so it's like he can't be like that forever.
The whole team's 35.
Yeah,
yeah. The whole team's 35.
Like, I think what's wild is Miami's really like they're just all in for these 2 years, so they really got to get some sort of roster upgrade if it doesn't work, because right now, as their roster stands, I don't think they have the best roster in the East by any means. They definitely don't have the best roster in the league.
Like Miami's depth is terrible.
Their depth is horrible.
Yeah, that's good is bad, right now. But you know, like just like last year,
Jimmy,
just get
they're
guys,
paying
man.
Jimmy $4,184, and Jimmy's like has a bad injury history. Like he's had trouble staying healthy the last 2 or 3 years.
To be honest, by the end of last season, Jimmy didn't quite look the same.
Yeah, he was clearly playing injured by the time he got to the bubble.
Yeah, and it just.
What did Jimmy shoot in the playoffs, man? I gotta pull up those numbers.
He was garbage.
I thought that was like it was Jimmy like was DeMar in the Wizards series level. Man. That might be DeMar plus Kyle in the Wizards series, man.
It was legitimately bad.
I'm gonna pull it up.
But it's kind of sucks because Kyle basically is on the 2017-2018 Raptors again.
Yo, here's the numbers. In the 4-game sweep by Miami to Milwaukee, Jimmy Butler shot 29.7% for the series. He made 4.8 field goal attempts per 16 attempts per game. That's
tough. He was going through
it. Garbage.
That was tough.
He was going through it.
But to be fair, the whole team was bad. So it wasn't
Bam
just
him. What did Bam Adebayo do that series? Was he injured?
Let me look it up again.
The Bucks series?
I do think that's what Miami's kind of banking on is that Bam is going to take another step this year and Kyle's going to be the guy to unlock him.
Yeah, no,
if
he's
Kyle can get Bam, like if Bam takes a leap and he becomes like not AD level but like 90% of what AD is, then damn, right?
Oh,
like,
I don't know if he's going to get there.
He's just not as big as AD. That's crazy. There's a bit of a size limitation.
But like if Kyle's setting him up for 15-foot, 16-foot jumpers that he's casually hitting,
90% of AD's crazy.
Feeding him. But if Kyle's feeding him pick and rolls, like Kyle's gonna make him a super souped up Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, yeah.
And Serge is getting like 18 a game.
But
when
you know, but Serge is money as a shooter though.
Yeah,
like money. Like and even like, he even got the three really good by the end of the Toronto run. So
if you guys,
I don't know if
Bam
shoots like that, he doesn't really.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. If you guys remember how the Bucks were defending Bam, they were just letting him shoot. Like they were giving him that shot, and you could see he was going through a mental breakdown. He didn't know what to do offensively.
I think the Heat have the ability to be both a 60-win team and a 45-win team at the same time.
Yeah, regular season-wise, they're never a team that's going to take like,
high wins.
Yeah, they're not a high-win team. But in the playoffs, I think they could beat, like, can they beat Milwaukee in a series?
Depending on what.
Well, Milwaukee doesn't have players right now. Like, Milwaukee has, what, six players?
Yeah, Milwaukee, they just got Bobby Portis back, which was huge on a nice discount. But I think like when things start shaping up, the Nets, Bucks, and depending on what the 76ers do with Ben Simmons are all going to be just above the Heat. Unless the Heat somehow make up this bench. And
if they can get a ring chaser or something,
yeah,
that'd be incredible. But this is the same problem I have with the entire East where a lot of people like just look at the starting lineup or look at the top talent and they make their decision. And I'm like, man, a lot of these teams that in the East that have paid all these money for these big stars, they have no depth. Like, the Nets legitimately don't have any depth anymore.
Yeah. How did they get Blake Griffin agree to come back?
Well, who else is signing Blake Griffin, dog?
No, man. Blake Griffin got at least 10 shares of Alibaba.
No, Blake Griffin's part of Kevin Durant's media company.
Oh,
you know, he's going to be in his boardroom. I'm making that up. I don't know, but I'm assuming, right?
I think he just feels like
Blake
he can
Griffin,
take nights
Blake
off
Griffin's there. Actually a full-time stand-up, and he just does this like as a side gig.
Yeah, I was going to say, now he can joke about how stand-ups make no money. You got to really grind.
Yeah,
you got to have a second job to play in the NBA. Oh, my God.
I read somewhere that the Nets can't afford any of their guys.
Yeah, because their luxury tax bill is absurd.
Yeah.
That's why Spencer, they can't even do the sign and trade for Spencer because they just can't take stuff back or whatever, right?
Which is why Jeff Green left. Jeff Green left to the Denver Nuggets. Now he's on
the
NBA team
number
29.
Right? The taxpayer mid-level or something there?
Denver gets the most random players. I'm sorry. But...
Yeah. Someone,
who had the tweet? Someone had the tweet where it's like Jeff Green calls his agent. He's like, "Hey, yo, what team have I not played on yet?" He's like, "Denver." He's like, "All right, call him up. All right,
let's do it." Jeff Green is the new. He's the new Trevor Ariza. Trevor Ariza somehow still playing.
And I think they're, aren't they the same age, bro? Like, I don't.
They're like neck and neck, man.
I don't know why I always have this like image of Jeff Green that he's still like 28.
No, he's fully Uncle Jeff Green at this point, man. He's like 35, yeah.
But I do like it. Like, that's the thing where I'm like, man, Brooklyn really doesn't have any players outside of their four guys. Like, they have their four, and then they have what, Nick Claxton and
put some respect on Mike James, man. Come on,
and Mike James.
And Alize Johnson.
Do they have Mike James for this year?
I don't know if they do, to be honest.
Because they traded for
the Phoenix Suns guard, the bald guy, for Landry Shamet.
And Javon Carter?
Javon Carter, yeah.
Okay, Javon Carter, maybe he was injured, actually.
They got, right? Bruce Brown back, I'm pretty sure. So
they have like maybe six guys, right, that can play, seven guys. But like their guys fall off really quickly. Like, they have their top three, and then they fall off really quickly, and the defense is going to be an issue there, right? So like them, the Bucks, the Sixers, all these teams have the same issue in a playoff series where they're like, we got six guys who have to play like 35, 40 minutes, and then we have to survive for 8 minutes, right? And I think the Heat are going to have the same issue. And that's where like a team like Toronto probably isn't going to win a 7-game series against those teams because of talent.
No, we're not.
But like if a team like Toronto has, if Toronto gets to the end of the season and your bench is like bench mobbing like the last team or whatever, and your starters are just playing like equal to other teams or like only like a -2, then it's suddenly like, oh, we can go 6, we can go 7 with these teams. Because like you're going to win enough minutes to make it games competitive. And that's where people kind of forget that, like, because I'm reading all these tweets, people are like, oh, people don't know the Raptors are like basically ready to tank again. And I'm like, did you see the contracts that we have signed on these guys? Like, we have legitimately like good, like all-star level players that are signed on the starting lineup that are going to get massive usage.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? Like, this team's going to win 45
games. We're a really good team, even if we bring the same OG Anunoby back. And I think we're going to see a much better OG next year. So,
OG's going to set what the trajectory
is. Once you tank once,
everybody,
you're just going to keep hitting reset on that tank, man.
It's just too addictive, right? Because you don't have to worry about it. As soon as you say, oh, we're tanking, then you can like take the losing and not feel insecure about it.
Yeah.
But like if you're not tanking, you're like, oh, well, then what are we doing? Oh my god, oh my gosh. And then every loss feels monumental, or it's like, oh, you lose a close game to the Charlotte Hornets on the second night of a back to back, and it's like, Pascal's garbage, you gotta trade him. Like, what are we talking about? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, what's giving me a lot of consolation is I'm just looking through the Raptors lineup data for this past season. And look, man, not a lot went right for the Raptors this past season. They had 27 wins, okay? Like, I'm not trying to like sugarcoat this thing. What I'm trying to say is when you sort through the four-man lineups, you see a lot of, you know, plus 86 in 472 minutes, plus 81 in 115 minutes, plus 66 in 184 minutes, plus 61 in 143 minutes. The lineup that we're pretty much going to have in our four-man rotation, you know, a lot of is Pascal, Fred, OG, Chris Boucher, four-man lineup, plus 61 in 143 minutes. If you look at the most popular, I guess, Kem Birch lineup.
Birch lineups are amazing, man. It's beautiful. I love that guy.
Yeah, even something small, like 82 minutes of OG, Chris Boucher, Gary Trent, Malachi Flynn, 30 plus 32 in 82 minutes. I guess what I'm trying to say is that like the Raptors really struggled with the fifth guy this past season, and that really kills your five-man lineup.
Talk about win shares. Aaron Bain set like NBA high loss shares last year.
It has to be a record.
Like the Raptors literally lost so many games by such small margins when they were actually competing. And every time you look at Aaron Baines, -475 in 2 minutes.
No, man.
Like, bro, like I can't, like, we all know what the issue was that our fifth and sixth or seventh dude just was absolutely garbage in every lineup. Like, you couldn't find a fifth man when he had to rest a starter.
It was like him or Stanley Johnson, man. And I'm literally like halfway through the season, I started calling Aaron Baines the weatherman, man. This guy's just totally know, man.
And with all those players playing so poorly, the Raptors were still the fourth seed before everybody went down.
Yeah, that's true.
With COVID, so. Yeah.
Which is wild. It's like, yo, like every single like playoff team we played so damn competitively. We have wins against, or we like lost narrowly to. And you could always look at, we lost because there was that one piece of our lineup when we had to play literal like below NBA replacement level guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we just didn't have a 5 to 10 man line. Like, we had a third line and we had our first line. We just didn't have anyone that was the quality of a second line. Yeah, and now we're going to go into the season, and I think it's going to take like 5 or 6 games, and then people are going to start believing again. Is when people see how good like our bench actually is. Like, we got some really good guys coming up.
Can we be a top 5 defense in the league?
Why not? I think so for sure.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah.
If we could be a top 5 defense, then I think we could be in the mix for a strong playoff position.
We're the weakest defenders on the team, man. Like, we can count the plus defenders. You got Fred all NBA level, OG yep. all NBA level, Pascal's all NBA level in terms of scheme, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then you got Ken Burch, who's a plus defender. You got Gary Trent Jr., who's just even at worst, right? You got
Malachi can be plus. He honestly can be plus.
Yeah. In a scheme, he can be plus. You got Malachi, who's a plus defender. Utah's a plus defender.
Scotty
is, in theory, he's going to be a plus defender, right?
For sure, yeah.
So you're already looking at like at least 6 to 7 guys you can just throw out there in any given time to be play defense, yeah. right? So you have a lot of lineup flexibility.
It really is just here. Chris, and Chris is very good. He puts a lot on the table, and he takes a lot off the table.
Like, your two chuckers are Gary Trent and Chris Boucher, and like that's where you get your offense from. They're always going to be in lineups with 4+ defenders. So why are we worried? Like, and last year, we had significant...
We can't forget about Precious. Come on.
Bro, last year, we played redacted significant minutes. We played Matt Thomas significant minutes as the 7th guy.
Yeah.
Aaron Baines and Alex Len were the pivot men on our defense. Like,
Holy shit.
You understand why... Like, our best defensive lineups were when we literally just spammed our best players. We were like, all right, small ball, Norm at the 3, OG at the 5.
Mm.
Let's just run these guys into the ground. And they would... They would put up like a defensive rating of 80, but they'd have no energy to actually score.
Yeah.
It was
pure struggle ball, man. It's literally when you play Pokemon, you have to use struggle.
Yeah. Like, I know I'm talking a lot, but I'm at peace with what the team is.
Yeah.
And I actually think it's going to be surprisingly good.
I'm just not happy that you still didn't mention Precious, but
I keep forgetting, man, because he's not on the roster yet. Like, I need to see the sign.
You just don't want to say his name again, man.
I'm scared to pronounce them both. I'm shook.
Yeah, for any Raptors fans that don't know how to pronounce it, I'm sure you guys know how to pronounce Precious. It's
Nigerian names are phonetic. Just look at it, take a slow, and then just say it. But it's phonetic in English.
The names are easy. I just have a problem with that like CH type sound. Because I'd be struggling to say words. I'm an immigrant. It's okay.
It's all good, man. Before we go, let me just read you some from Bobby Marks. He put out a list of free agents still available on the board. And just stop me if you hear anybody that you like, okay? Kendrick Nunn, Reggie Jackson, Dennis Schroeder, Patty Mills, Bruce Brown, Ish Smith, Danny Green, J.J. Redick, DeMar DeRozan, Kelly Oubre, Rudy Gay, Josh Hart, John Collins.
I like Josh Hart.
You like Josh Hart? Okay.
I like a few guys. So we're not getting him. Yeah. Okay.
Who else did you like? Who's the few other guys you liked, man? Which podcaster? Danny Green or JJ Redick? Which one?
No, I don't like either of those guys.
You don't want the podcast.
Who else did you say? I think you said Patty Mills. I would like Patty Mills just to come in as a chucker.
Apparently, Patty Mills is going to go to the Lakers. Or
something. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I think Patty Mills is going to either the Lakers or the Warriors. I think J.J. Redick is going to the Nets because his family lives there. So he's going to the Nets. Like, that's already guaranteed, basically.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Danny Green. Where's the podcast going?
For the Danny podcast? Green? That's a good point.
Yeah, cool. I think it's either Miami or L.A., right? Like, it depends on...
Ooh, honestly, Miami, just for the podcast alone, would be pretty good. Like,
But I think L.A. can give him a piece of the mid-level, right? Like, they have a piece of the taxpayer mid-level, so L.A. might be able to give him more money.
And there's no way, man. Before, right? No, please. Danny can't now go back to the Lakers. I'm sorry. The Laker fans have treated him poorly. Like, we, as Raptor fans, we joke on Danny because of the playoffs. Laker fans were at a different level. I feel like there has to be, like, a law against that, or a bylaw or something.
Yeah, but I think with the Lakers, Danny would be like one of their like best shooters, right?
He would be. Yeah, they need him absolutely
because they would have him, Wes Johnson. Wesley Matthews. Wes Johnson would be horrible. Wesley Matthews and Trevor Ariza, right? Like,
yeah, they got Kent Bazemore. Like, it's I don't know, geez. Man.
Yeah. If Danny goes to Miami on a minimum, that's crazy.
They need him. I'm telling you, they need him.
I just think there's teams that have more money available to take Danny. And I don't know why Danny, like, if Danny really wants to lose $4 million to chase a ring, that good for him. But I don't think I don't think Miami is a ring chasing type destination.
I wouldn't hate it if Danny, I wouldn't hate it if Danny came back. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
I think actually would be a spot for him. More on the list here. John Collins restricted, Lauri Markkanen restricted, Carmelo Anthony.
Who's probably going to LA as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Jared Vanderbilt. Okay. Andre Drummond, Kem Birch, which I'm just going to assume the Raptors are going to re-sign.
Yeah.
And it's Cantor, who you've already spoken up for, but unfortunately, it's not going to be available, I guess. And then Robin Lopez and Lou Williams, Malik Monk, Taylor Horn-Tucker restricted, Victor Oladipo, Hamidou Diallo, Austin Rivers, Frank Ntilikina, DeMarcus Cousins.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Free agency goes fast. Like,
Malik Monk is a name a lot of people talk about, right? I don't know a whole lot about him other than, like, you know, he can get hot from three.
Great name.
Is he the one that that Jordan slapped?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I just assumed all of them are, man. Maybe LaMelo. Yeah, LaMelo doesn't deserve that, but everybody else does.
I think Jordan slapped him on tape for something, but that was
That's weird.
That was funny. Okay. But yeah, Malik Monk could be interesting as, like, you know, your shooting guard gunner. I think the Raptors need a guard more than they need a big man. Like, if you're keeping
Have a backup shooting guard right now.
If Fresh isn't moving, like, you get a guard, right?
They don't have a backup shooting guard.
Yeah, like, unless you're trying to say Paul Watson or Utah is going to be your backup shooting
guard. They're not shooting guards. They won't even shoot the ball.
They're both small forward.
Give me a guy who will shoot the ball to be your shooting guard.
I would like a gunner off the bench. That could help a little bit more. But
yeah, I'm in for Malik Monk. Forget it.
Malik Monk, I'd be down for.
I would have really liked, before the news came out, I would have really liked the Dinwiddie. But, like, the way Dinwiddie's been kind of moving this offseason has kind of been like, I'm going to go to a team where they're going to look at me like I'm a star, because I feel like he kind of thinks he's like, I mean, at his best, he was basically a borderline all-star. So, but
I mean,
he's one of the Wizards.
The problem with Dinwiddie is, like, he's going to want higher usage, right? Whenever he's on the court, he's going to be a high usage guy. So I'm like, do I want him to be the usage dude, or do I want, like, Malachi Flynn to get those reps, Scottie Barnes to get those reps, Pascal and Fred to get those reps, OG to get those reps, right? Because your starting lineup, like, if Spencer was on the team, he'd most likely be on the starting lineup then. Over Gary, like, that would be it would be either him or Gary, right? Depending on how he's coming back.
And everyone would get pushed down a notch,
And it's like, do I really want Spencer Dinwiddie also taking usage away from OG? Like, I'd rather just OG have creation usage and just live with it, right? Also, I just want to state these because every time I look at it, I get super hyped. After we traded Norm, so after the deadline, OG Anunoby to close the season, 18 points, I think like 5 rebounds, 3 assists a game on 47, 39, 82 splits. Wow. And he was shooting 6.9 3-point attempts a game.
Yeah.
And it's like, 23% usage. Just like absurd. Like, that's 59% true shooting percentage. Like, he was on one. Like, that guy is ready to become a great player. And I'm so excited because, like, they kept him out near the end of the season to make sure he was healthy going into the offseason. And based on kind of how the Raptors have made moves and the way that they've set it up, it seems like they're more or less like getting set for OG to just become like a big role dude. And those first couple weeks where Pascal's out injured, recovering from the shoulder, like, we'll know better if Pascal's ready for game one or not, but say he's out for 2-3 weeks, it's going to be really cool seeing OG just get to, like, unleash on this team. Because I think it's ready. I think it's time, because he's 24 now, and this is kind of the season where he gets to really, really go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I would have loved to see OG, by the way, play for Nigeria, but things didn't.
Yo, really apparently, there's a lot of drama behind that guy. I think Shimizu Metsu. He was talking about how he's really upset with Nigeria, like Nigeria basketball, or just like in general the country sports authority and how they support the athletes. And then there was a track star, I think, that had a whole thread. He was like, yeah, I was supposed to go to, I think it was the games in South Korea or something. He's like, I was supposed to be in the 400 meter. When I get there, I'm signed up for the wrong events. I'm signed up for the 200 meter and like the 4x100 meter. And the guy who they signed up for the 400 meter instead, they didn't even put him on the plane. So there's some stuff happening there. Hopefully they get that sorted out, because that program has a lot of really good young talent coming up, and they're going to be really interesting. Like,
yeah,
there's really good young Nigerian players in the league right now.
Very good. Shout out to Gabe Vincent.
Yeah. Shout out to Gabe Vincent, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, he's been going by his like birth name on the Nigerian team. Gabe. They give it, he's like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Namdi. Yeah.
Yeah, Namdi. That was
it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Another Willu out here. Oh my God! No, I can't believe this podcast turned into the Malcolm Gladwell episode.
I think this episode will, if anything, made me most excited for Precious Achiuwa.
We're gonna have to be, man. No, we're gonna have to be.
Like, I really feel like, yeah, I feel like Raptors fans are gonna fall in love with this guy.
I mean, he does a lot of the stuff that you know, like that people love, you know, to see in Toronto, which is just like hard work, you know, physical play. Like he's gonna compete for loose balls and stuff like that. Like, you know, like, you know, Kenneth Faried is another comp, although
yeah,
I think
he's a really good...
didn't really play defense like that. But if Faried could play defense, like, that would be a pretty good player. So I don't think that's like an exact one-to-one comp, but like that kind of like, I mean, Faried was a...
Precious is a damn good rebounder too, and the Raptors kind of lacking that a little bit.
Yo, Precious had like multiple like double-digit rebound games. He had a 15-rebound game against us or a 13-rebound game against us?
Yeah.
Which isn't hard to do, but, you know.
Yeah, well, seriously. No, he only started, like, 4 games, but, like, 2 of the games he started, he had, like, 23-10 and then, like, 17-13 or something like that. So,
yeah.
I don't think he's going to come in as a polished product and things like that. I mean, I don't think that Miami would be this willing to give up on him this quickly if he were, as like, you know, one of their star blue-chip prospects. But, no, he's a good player, man. I think he's, 23-10 against Detroit in a win, 17-13. And a loss
against the Sixers. He gave Embiid work.
Six offensive rebounds. Like, you know, I mean, again, if you compare like Precious' rookie numbers to like Pascal's rookie numbers, it's not that dissimilar. So if he could be like bench Pascal, that would be fantastic. Although I don't think he can handle like Pascal though.
Yeah. Also, you guys, just a separate update. During the USA Spain game right now, apparently Bam's having a lot of trouble. He just got blocked by like Ricky Rubio.
That's
like one on, it's a one-on-one, like basically alone underneath their net. Everybody else is behind the 3-point line and Bam gets blocked from behind by Ricky Rubio.
I feel like American and I guess even Canadian bigs, because Canadian bigs play most of like American bigs. Like they really struggle in that international setting. Like it's purely half court. The defense of 3 seconds, there's a guy in the paint at all times. So your roles are cut off. Like what else are you really doing? Like you really need to like have a post game, a passing game, play at the high post, the mid post. And like how many bigs have that, you know? Like because most bigs are just rolling, catching bigs or like pick and pop threes, which, you know, as much as pick and pop threes are great, like it's great if you're like Karl-Anthony Towns are doing it, but like if you're taking Miles Turner or Brooke Lopez to the, you know, international tournaments, I'm sorry. Like I'm sure USA has better players than that, but kind of they don't. So also JaVale's on that team, man.
How did JaVale end up there?
I mean, it's a cool story because, you know, his mom was on the Olympic team.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I read that.
But, like, you know.
Well, he's helped their team since he got there. Because like
So did Keldon Johnson. But
I'll be honest. Here's the thing with Team USA, I think, and it always gets, like, put down as everyone's like, oh, yeah, put all the stars on the team. And it's like, yo, a team full of stars does not make a good team because you just need a couple role players on there.
You have to.
You just need people who do roles.
Yeah, even back in like when they did the Redeem team and stuff like that, like they had like Iguodala on there.
Mm-hmm.
Even Dwight Howard, you know, star player, but really good player, but like was kind of playing a role. He wasn't
same
really
as Harden.
Good. Yeah, Chris Bosh played a role on that.
That
the 2008 team, right? Like it's nice to have all these stars, but like yo, like let's make sure you have some role players. And I think nowadays, like the stars are a little bit more, like a lot of the stars are just on ball stars. Like,
exactly.
So it becomes a little more difficult. Like if you have
diminishing returns,
if you have Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Chris Middleton, and Kevin Durant, Zach LaVine, like if these are all the guys that are on your team, like you get a lot of like your turn, my turn stuff happening, right? Instead of like like basketball, which is I think the issue that these U.S. teams struggle with when it comes to it.
Also, if you watch like a lot of international teams play, like there's so much off ball movement. That's one of the biggest differences between like it's NBA crazy. Basketball and
it's like
basketball.
Real basketball, man. Like
yeah, well, exactly. No, but seriously, there's always nonstop off ball movement, and there just isn't. Like, who on that team is a natural off ball mover? Like KD?
No.
Like Dame is not a guy who's going to relocate for the three. Like Chris Middleton is not a guy who's going to relocate.
I guess like Jeremy Grant like is
Booker maybe. Slashing. Like Booker at best, yeah. And Booker has, you know.
They got a couple guys who are trying to get off the ball, like, you know, like Draymond Green and Jrue Holiday. But
then they also don't have natural playmakers. I don't know. They picked a very strange team.
Yeah.
Very strange team.
I mean, they'll probably still win, but I mean.
It would be hilarious if Luka beats them in the finals. I'd be rooting for Luka.
Yeah. That'd be
the most hilarious.
The thing with USA is, though, like, they have a higher gear defensively. Because when they could just switch everything, like, which they can, mm-hmm. and they start to play with pressure, they can get stops against everybody in the world.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, they'll probably beat Spain just based on that. Because other countries don't have one-on-one scores.
It was tied at halftime at 43-43, and, like, the U.S. just blew open.
The U.S., they're just going crazy right now. Everyone's tweeting about Kevin Durant. So, yeah, shout out to him.
That's tough. Ricky Rubio couldn't hold off Kevin Durant?
Who do they have guarding him? It's probably, like, Rudy Fernandez.
You know, honestly, it's still Rudy Fernandez, man. That guy's timeless, ageless.
That guy's been playing for Spain since he was like 14 years old, man.
Didn't this guy play with like Carmelo Anthony on the Nuggets? Like, this guy's old, man.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah.
And on New York, I think.
Rudy Fernandez.
Was it New York?
Yeah. Oh, he's 36 now.
Portland, Denver.
Oh, yeah. One more thing before I forget. Shout out to the Rexdale kid. If you're from Rexdale,
Delano.
Are you are fond of that community, you live near that community, that's so huge.
That's incredible.
For like a hometown talent to come out of there. Shout out to Delano Banton.
Yeah.
His family's probably super proud of him. Like imagine like, it's crazy. Like I was sitting there thinking about it and I was like, his parents are probably like in total shock that they like raised their son and he got to the highest level of basketball and he's now representing his hometown team that he's been rooting for his entire life. So
yeah.
No, shout out to him, man.
This is what representation feels like. And like you can see bits of your story and like in sort of what he's talking about. First off, he's been repping it super hard. It was actually kind of funny in his introduction press conference. I don't think there was a single question asked about his game. Like, you know, like, hey, what have you been working on?
So
you know,
what are you actually good at?
Yeah, like, you know, like what position you play, you know what I mean? Like the basics. I mean, to be honest, I could have been asking that, but I was also like lazy and on my couch. And I was just listening to the Zoom call. I couldn't take this man seriously because his accent was so strong. I was like,
his Toronto accent is crazy.
So funny, man. Where I told you guys, I was like, this is the first time I'm going to have to transcribe still in the quotes.
I love that so much.
Seriously, my editor is gonna be like, still spelled with an I, and I'm like, no. In this context, it's different.
Not anymore.
You gotta conjugate. But
not anymore.
No, this guy. I mean, you know, but his
was incredible because when he got drafted, like I just searched up. I was like, oh, let me like search up an interview because I just like hearing how guys talk, right? And I searched up the interview, and I had no expectation going in. And the first sentence, he's just like, yo, yeah, we lost a lot of men. Still, I'm like, damn.
I'm not convinced this isn't a 4YE skit, man.
And I was just smiling the whole way through. I was like, this is incredible. Like, I love it.
I'm so happy for him, man.
It's amazing, man. What an amazing story.
This guy's wearing number 45 for the 45 Kipling, which is a trash bus. It's not a good bus.
No.
It does the job.
Damn, yeah, no, this guy, yeah, seriously,
his path is just his path is insane.
I'm rooting for him. I don't actually know what he's gonna be like as a player. Like,
To be honest, I gotta tell people, like, I feel like you gotta dull down expectations just a little bit because, like, if you watch some of his Arkansas tape, like, it wasn't like I really do think the Raptors were looking for specific types of players in this draft, and he's 6'9", and he was a ball handler, and he was a point guard, so like that's kind of the type that we're looking for. But in terms of skill set and things like that, I mean, the shooting hasn't really come around just yet. He doesn't also play with that much physicality. He's more like smooth gliding kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. He plays almost like upright. It's like he plays like leaning back the whole time, which is really interesting to see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like in this cool lean the whole time, but he's got some interesting parts to his game. I don't know if he can play at NBA speed, but we'll see what happens.
I wonder if he can be like a Kyle Anderson. The thing is, like, Kyle Anderson does have some strength. And he's got, like, just actually incredible touch. Because he takes, like, weird-looking shots, but they all go in. Well, not all go in, but they go in enough where he's a good player.
Yeah. Worst case, he's going to be a really good 905 player. It's going to be
exactly.
A good time to watch. Man. So
you guys getting the Banton 45 905 kit?
Oh, 100%, man. There's no chance. I don't own a 905 jersey, but I'm going to own one now.
Yeah,
100%. Shout out to Central Commerce, man. Went from Central Commerce to American prep school programs.
Was this guy playing Western
Kentucky?
Stuff?
What a road to, and then to Nebraska. Was he playing what? Sorry,
was this guy playing OFSA? Yo, we really have a man who played OFSA. I'm gonna look up Delano Banton OFSA, man. This is what
Central
I'm doing.
Commerce. If you're from Central Commerce or you're an alumni of that school, big up. Big up Central Commerce. Big up Rexdale.
No, seriously, man. That's amazing.
The whole city.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow, he really played at OFSA. That's unbelievable, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost feels like I was watching some of his, whatever clips I could find of him. Because obviously the deeper you get into the draft, the harder it is to just find. You're almost like relying on highlight tapes of guys. You're like on their Instagram, and with him, it was like, because he was like 6'1" or something coming out of, I don't know if it was coming out of high school or something, but he grew just recently. Like he hit 6'9" in the last, few years.
Mm.
Before that, it was like 6'6". Before that was like 6 or 6'1". So it feels like he's still kind of getting used to playing at his size. But I'm so excited, man. It's almost like, and I know the Raptors are going to take this project like any other project in a prospect very seriously. So I can't wait to see what he becomes. And if anything, hey, person out of the city made it to the highest level in the league, or in the world, I should say.
Yeah, man. Nah, salute. Bobby Webster just wanted to say shout out to Rex, though. In the Zoom conference, I see you, Bobby. You think Bobby's been a Rex though?
Hell no.
Well, you don't think lost on the way to the airport?
There's absolutely no way Bobby's been to Rex though.
Now, Bobby and Masai be in random gyms, like they be scouting. So I could see them being a Rex. I don't think anybody else. I know none of the Toronto media corps has been to Rexdale.
Bro, what are you talking about, man? You're pretending like I didn't grow up. First off, in Etobicoke, went to Rexdale all the time. The amount of times I've been to Woodbine Mall.
No, I wasn't talking about you.
Oh, okay, all right, fair enough. No, but I was trying to say, man, like you're telling me Bobby Webster and Masai didn't go to Handy's. Like. Tell me that's not what happened.
You know what? I take it back. Usa made a great point, to be honest. I think Bobby has been to Rexdale because they work locally so hard. So I wouldn't be shocked. But yeah, I also agree with the point he made after that, which I'm not going to.
Yeah, remember. But Bobby had made a point. He said like Delano was one of the guys that they saw at BioSteel. Yeah, and that's where the benefit comes from, BioSteel, right? Like where you have BioSteel. I'm like, that's actually really awesome. Like,
yeah. Nah, man. So, all right. I kept you guys long enough. Day one of free agency. Not to be honest, we still don't fully know, so we can't fully judge this Kyle trade, but we do have to say goodbye to Kyle. I think, honestly, the goodbye to Kyle thing has to just wait, because I think right now everyone's focused on free agency. We can circle back emotionally on this portion, but obviously that's very important. And we're not
also like, we kind of already did so much of it.
I know, I'm a little tired. Everyone knows,
And I'm gonna just say this quick because a lot of people, like, there's a lot of noise from like Sixers people and stuff like that, and a lot of people are like, "Well, why wouldn't you have just traded Kyle to like the Sixers or the Lakers and at the trade deadline and gotten their packages?"
Because fuck them. Like, that's why.
Yeah. One, yes, and two, it's like it's pretty freaking obvious that Kyle just didn't want to go there. Like Kyle wanted to go to Miami. Yeah. That was it.
No, Kyle got one taste of driving that Ferrari around, playing golf year round.
Thing, yo. As soon as I saw it, I was worried all season because I was like, "Damn, Kyle got his car there. Like he got like his like brand new car. It's there." Yeah. I'm like, "There's no way he's bringing this back up over the border," and I don't think he's gonna leave it parked at his Philly house, like just to sit there for a season. Right? I'm like, he's gone definitely after the season.
No, man. No, remember, there was that video like way back when where Woj was. In Toronto with Kyle's, and his family, and they hopped in the family car. It was literally a Sprinter van. This guy would have traded the Sprinter van. This guy was basically an Amazon delivery package driver, and then he hopped in a Ferrari. Like,
well, bro, like most of the season, like there's snow on the ground, right? Like you're not gonna drive around your sports car out with freaking like salt all on the roads and shit, right? Like,
yeah.
Damn,
it's ridiculous.
Damn. And plus, the no state income tax. Kyle Lowry is probably a guy who checks his bank account.
$90 million guaranteed is,
bro. Shout out to him, man. I'm actually really, really happy for him. Like, what
Kyle got more guaranteed money than Chris Paul did.
Good.
Did he really?
Yeah, because Chris Paul is third year's partial and fourth year's non-guaranteed.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Damn. So Kyle got more guaranteed money than Chris Paul.
But yeah, what I was going to say was shout out to Kyle because what players can you really think of that, other than maybe LeBron, that you know you look at their entire NBA career and you can say, this guy played with his best friends. Like he played with DeMar.
Yeah.
And now he's playing with Jimmy. And if I'm not mistaken, DeAndre Jordan's also one of his good friends in the league, but it's like...
Everybody from 2016 in Rio, eh? Everybody who went to that that report that came out.
I mean, yeah, he did get to win a gold medal with him. So, I mean, he did technically play with DeAndre. But, I mean, yo, he played his two best friends in Jimmy and DeMar. So shout out to Kyle, man. He's just having fun. And I really feel like with this team, he thinks he can win and have fun. Not to say he couldn't do that in Toronto, but...
Bro, he couldn't bring his friends here?
That's a good point.
We could have had Jimmy. You know, would you guys have bought a Jimmy Butler 22 jersey? Yes, absolutely.
Jimmy could have sold his coffee here.
Bro, have you seen Toronto coffee? A, it's garbage. B, like, it's all seven, but $8 anyway, man. I'll pay $20 American for it. Why not? Just call it cold brew or whatever. So,
yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. This is late enough. Appreciate you guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And, yeah, I'll be back later in the week to recap more free agency news.